chapter. Hear the word of God. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." In a second from the gospel, when Jesus was asked, "What is the most important commandment?" he said, "That you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And a second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For some football? Oh, okay. I think that's going to have to wait till later. So, how about this, church fans? Are you ready for some preaching?
Yeah!
Welcome to the Super Bowl of preaching. I'm Kathy Bostrom, retired pastor here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church, here to bring you the play-by-play as we discover who is the best preacher here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. I'll be joined here today by some distinguished colleagues, Presbyterian pastors who have been around the pulpit a time or two. First, I'd like to introduce lifelong Presbyterian Noel Calhoun. Good morning, Noel. Noel's been everything from a pastor to a development director to a hospital chaplain. Welcome, Noel.
Thanks, Kathy. It's a beautiful day for a sermon. While the weather outside is frightful, here in the sanctuary, it's delightful. And we've got an enthusiastic crowd ready to cheer for their favorite.
Let's hope the sermons keep them happy, Noel, at least until after the offering. Betty Mitchell, you're originally an American Presbyterian, but I know you have experience in the one true Kirk. For Betty here, yes, Betty has preached in the Church of Scotland.
I like to say I was a Presbyterian before I was born, because my family came from Scotland, and of course, we were all Presbyterians. But anyway, they say that if you preach in America with a Scottish brogue, you can read the phone book with your Scottish accent, and nobody will ever know the difference.
Well, I don't think anyone here speaks the Queen's English, and sometimes that one tall pastor doesn't make any sense at all, but I'm not going to say anything about that, because after all, I have to go home with that guy, so let's go along and welcome our newest panelists, the Right Reverend Scott Samuelson, chaplain at Trinity International University and former associate pastor with our Presbyterian friends in Libertyville. Scott? I hear you're doing the men's retreat in just a few weeks.
That's right, Kathy. I'll be at Lake Long Lodge with the guys, and I'm hoping they're a little more mature than the college students I work with every day.
Hey, don't count on that, Scott. Although I hear that bad karaoke is about as wild as that crew gets. Noel, what are you thinking of as you look forward to today's preach-off?
Well, Kathy, we've had some excellent sermons here over the last 20 years, but unfortunately, most of them were yours.
Well, thank you, Noel. But I think we've heard some great messages from those new kids on the block, Greg Dana and Jill Paulson.
You're right, of course. I was thinking of some real snoozers from the other guy.
The other guy that I do have to go home with later today. So, no comment. I want to ask our other panelists what they're thinking.
Well, you know, Greg Dana always has insightful things to say. The challenge for Greg, of course, is his over-the-top delivery. I mean, I don't know about you, when Greg preaches, I close my eyes just to shut out all the visual noise.
Well, that's right, Scott. You know, his pulpit-pounding, high-volume style, oh, excuse me, can be hard for some people to take.
Jill Paulson, on the other hand, needs to jack it up a bit. Her low energy level can drag the congregation down, even though she's got a great message.
You know, you got to say, though, Greg Bostrom is the favorite. If for no other reason than he preaches most often. Actually, that is the only reason. Kathy, why does he get to preach more than anyone else anyway?
You know, Scott, people have been asking that one for years.
Now, come on, Kathy. I've heard your husband preach some pretty good sermons. You don't mean, really? You write his sermons for him?
Only the good ones, Betty. Everyone knows that.
Wait, isn't there a law against that? A pastoral law? A moral law? Isn't that some sort of plagiarism?
Okay, here come the preachers now.
And now, representing Advent Blue from Princeton Theological Seminary, class of 1983, the Reverend Dr. Greg Bostrom. Go ahead, friends, wave your blue colors.
Thank you.
And here's the Reverend Greg Dana, wearing Lenten purple, representing the Fighting Calvinists of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, class of 1971. Friends, wave your purple.
Only at Wildwood. And last but not least, my sister preacher, Jill Paulson in Pentecost Red. Princeton Theological Seminary, class of 86. And they got those red colors up in the air.
They're looking pretty competitive.
Usually the three of them get along pretty well, but the Super Bowl of preaching seems to have brought out the worst in them. Sounds like Greg is ready for his pre-sermon comments.
You know, it's true that our profession encourages humility, cooperation, gentleness, kindness. But I have an ego. And I want to win this thing. I want to be the best preacher in this room. I want to be the best preacher in this denomination. I want to be the best preacher on this planet.
Oh, Kathy. Do you have to put up with that? No wonder you retired.
Betty, you really can't imagine. Oh. Well, how about Jill? Let's hear from Jill.
Oh, okay. Now, you know, I think my experience as a police chaplain, you know, riding along with the officers in those hot streets of Phoenix, I was the cool chaplain. I think that experience, as well as my training as a spiritual director, gives me a huge advantage over these two. The only thing these two have going for them is tall. Like, who cares about tall? Do you care about tall?
That.
I don't care about tall.
Jill, that's exactly right. And that's the kind of competitive spirit you need if you're going to break through this stained glass ceiling.
Yeah. You guys, you can't underestimate me, because I can beat tall.
Yeah, and I know she can. So, Greg Dana, what are you thinking?
If it comes to a contest of tall, I win it. No doubt about that. And, of course, my advantage is my psychotherapy background. I've done all those years of counseling, and I know what motivates these two. I can defeat that. I've seen Greg Bostrom and Jill preach under pressure before. And Greg Bostrom, I know what he's going to do today. He's going to Choke.
Oh, my. The Gregs are battling now. This could get ugly.
Greg, remember last Easter? It was standing room only. Mm-hmm. You had that amazing resurrection scripture passage going mm-hmm. for you. Yeah. Yeah. And what? Nothing.
Ooh.
All right.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah, it is ugly, all right. But so was that Easter sermon.
Wow. All I got to say is, today I'm going to be the Peyton Manning of preaching. Yes, I'm going to be a prince of the pulpit. And I am not going to rest until I am right up there with those, whoever they are, that win, the Broncos, the Seahawks, doesn't matter.
Greg.
I'll be in a higher place. Than
Greg.
What?
Greg.
What?
Why do you care that much?
What?
Why do you care so much?
Why do I care so much about winning the Super Bowl of preaching? Well, because Vince Lombardi and my eighth grade football coach and Jesus all said that winning is the only thing. That's why.
Greg. You think that's really true?
Of course it's true. They said it. I believe it. Football is about winning. Faith is about winning. And certainly, I'm sorry, but in the preaching world, preaching is about being the best. Winning is the only thing.
Greg, I don't think Jesus ever said that winning was the only thing.
What?
Panelists Jesus
never said that.
Seriously?
Never.
Well,
let's reiterate that one more time. Jesus never said that.
Well, he should have.
Yeah.
He should have.
I think he should have said it too, actually, because that's all that really matters in the world. It's all about success. The world doesn't want to hear about the labor pains. They only want to see the baby.
Yeah. We're so tired of preaching. Gentle Jesus. Compassionate Jesus. We want Jesus the winner! Huzzah!
Yeah, we want the Jesus who hangs out with the beautiful people, the Jesus who hangs out with the rich people, the Jesus who hangs out with the smart people. You know, we want the people who never made a mistake, you know?
Right.
The people who get tickets to the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah.
Okay, winning Jesus. That's what we want.
Yeah, I agree. Let's preach the winning Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah,
winning
let's preach
Jesus.
The winning Jesus.
Score!
Yeah. Jesus who's always
Score.
Doing this. Yes.
Yeah, touchdown Jesus. Touchdown Jesus.
Winning
That's right.
Jesus.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Touchdown Jesus. Yeah.
I like glory.
Yeah.
I like fame. You can worship my name.
Whoa.
Score!
Wait, stop!
Holy cow. Okay, so
what?
Winning Jesus.
Yeah,
where
winning
would you
Jesus.
Go?
I need it.
Winning.
What?
Matthew, what? Can't you see we're busy here? I'm trying to show these people that I'm the best preacher. This is the Super Bowl of preaching.
Yeah, this is winning time. Winning.
Yeah.
For heaven's sake, stop. You've got it all wrong.
Wrong?
What do you mean wrong?
Is that what you think life is all about? Is that what you think Jesus is all about? Is that what you think football is all about? Winning?
Well,
yeah.
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 Let me show you something.
All play of the month. It was executed with amazing precision by the Eagles, the Olivet Eagles. Steve Hartman has the play and the post-game analysis on the road.
Between classes, they schemed and conspired. For weeks, the football players here at Olivet Middle School in Olivet, Michigan, secretly planned their remarkable play.
Did anybody go, this is a crazy idea?
No, everyone was in on it.
But like the coaches didn't know anything about it. So we were like going behind their back.
I've just never heard of a team coming up with a plan to not score.
It's just like to make someone's day, make someone's week, just make them happy.
The play, which was two plays actually, happened at a home game earlier this month. The first part of their plan was to try to get as close to the goal line as possible without scoring. Even if it meant taking a dive on the one-yard line, which it did. The crowd was not happy. Quarterback Parker Smith.
But us kids knew, hey, we got this. This is our time. This is Keith's time.
Keith Orr is the little kid in the brown jacket. He's learning disabled, struggles with boundaries, but in the sweetest possible way. Because of his special nature, it's no surprise that Keith embraces his fellow football players. What is surprising is how they have embraced him.
We thought it'd be cool to do something for him.
Because we really wanted to prove that he was part of our team and he meant a lot to us.
Nothing can really explain getting a touchdown when you've never had one before.
Which brings us to part two of their play. If you didn't see Keith, it's because they were so protective of him. But he was in the middle of that rush.
And when you crossed the goal line, what was that like?
Awesome. It was like, did he just score a touchdown?
Get your camera out.
I'm like, oh, then I can't.
Keith's parents, Carrie and Jim, almost missed the moment, but they got the significance.
Somebody's always going to have his back from now until the day he graduates.
She's right. When the football team decides you're cool, pretty much everyone follows suit. Today, Keith is a new kid, although by no means was he the only one who was profoundly changed.
What was it like for you?
It was like once I saw him going, I was smiling like about like here.
Wide receiver Justice Miller.
Like nothing could wipe that smile off my face.
Why did it affect you so much?
Because like he's never been like cool or popular, and he went from being like pretty much a nobody to making everyone's day.
Justice admits the play wasn't his idea.
I would have not really thought about that.
He says it never crossed his mind to give Keith any glory.
Well, I kind of went from being somebody like mostly cared about myself and my friends to caring about everyone and trying to make everyone's day and everyone's life.
Which may just make that touchdown the most successful football play of all time. Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Olivet, Michigan.
That's what football ought to be about. That's what Jesus is all about. And that's what life is all about. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. If you get that right, who cares who wins the Super Bowl?
Let all God's people say, Amen.